coming to you live from Plug It's Mobile Studio, still in beautiful Los Angeles, California. We are keeping you plugged in with episode 259 of F5 Live, refreshing technology. It's crazy how that works out.
I feel better already. Got the news of the morning from Microsoft's E3 2012 press conference. Say Nick. Every time.
I'm like spot on with
the
this,
ball.
Man.
That is the one thing you always get correct.
It's crazy.
And I think we would all agree that Microsoft came correct.
They did.
This morning, but we'll get into that in a little bit. First, I have to address the smell in the studio.
Yeah, I know.
As it always is lingering around.
Sorry.
Us.
I know. I shower like 4 times a day.
No.
I feel like I'm the only person that ever does that. It's like in the past 48 hours, I've showered like 7 times, and it still doesn't keep me clean. I just need to go shower again. I'm going to get in front of a high-powered hose. No, wait. I'm getting off topic. You must be talking about that new tech smell, because, John, I think this show.
This show?
This show right here.
This part of the Tech Podcast Network.
Whoa.
Whoa.
You changed it.
I did.
If it's tech, it's
oh,
here.
Oh, it's here. I got excited.
I'm Nick.
And I'm John.
And we're here.
And I'm second chairing.
That's it. No. Still on mic 4, so enjoy that. We're here. Two other people are in this room right now. We have Scott live blogging the EA event as it happens. So you can check that out while you listen to our show. A bunch of content happening right now. And of course, our wonderful, lovely, ever so vivacious assistant Carla is in the studio. Clap at everybody who's not on air. It's 2 people out of 2.
Yeah, I'm clapping everybody who's not
on
air.
Good stuff. But of course, there is. Oh well, I gotta say this first. Wherever you may be, and however you may be accessing our show, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv, or any other. Wow, it's one of those days today. Any other of our streaming services. Thanks for making us part of your day. But of course, there is one place you can get all of our content. That's by going to F5Live.tv, clicking the subscribe buttons over next to John's head, if you're watching this on video. It's on the right-hand side for those
of
who
you
aren't
who are
watching
who are listening
on our site.
And
if you're watching it on like...
But they can't click if they're listening.
You go to F5Live.tv and click subscribe.
Oh, that's how that works.
See, that's what I'm saying. Audio, video, social, we're all there for all of the content for not only LA Gaming Week, but for all the news during the course of the year. Of course, there is one place we want our listeners to be, and our viewers. That's chatting with us live in the studio every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, or whenever we go live during these crazy convention weeks by going to F5Live.tv/join us. Stay tuned in the chat room, exclusive for our live listeners, wherever you may be listening. The epic award-winning, spine-chilling, bone-tingling, ear-curdling post-plug. I don't know why. For 10 minutes after the show, chat with us off the record. For now, let's jump into it. Microsoft Press Day. Let's do this thing. It's about that time. This year's E3 2012 Microsoft Recap on F5 Live. It's probably powered by the Microsoft Store. Hey, I'm not even going to tell you all the cool things that Microsoft has to offer for you, because in just a couple of minutes, literally, we're going to tell you about everything. So, listen to what we talk about, and then if you're interested in any of those products, make sure you're going to F5Live.tv, clicking the link
in the center.
Get your Microsoft fill. You need to. Because look.
Well, you said even if they're interested. Obviously, after we're done discussing what we talk about here, they will be.
They don't have
so
an option.
They'll go and do it anyway.
That's it. Because.
This is how it makes sense to me.
Usually, we will save our thoughts on who stole the show until the end.
Because at that point, we have been to all of them.
It's like having the best thing happen first and then getting let down for the rest of the week. So I'm just going to point it out now.
Well, that's what we thought last year. And then Sony came out from nowhere.
Yeah.
And did a really great conference.
Microsoft's wasn't groundbreaking last year, though.
No,
it was just cool.
It was cool. It definitely had that.
This time it was groundbreaking, and let's talk about that. So I'm going to say Microsoft stole the show already, because I can. That's the kind of person I am.
We have that freedom.
I will be swayed. I may be swayed is what I'm saying. Like, there may be something that comes up later that goes, wow, this is amazing. But with what they've done here at this convention in the Galen Center in Los Angeles. They walked away with a V for victory. Not a W. Victory. So we saw a bunch of things happen at the event, and we're going to talk about them.
Yeah, because we get a more than a bird's eye view at almost everything that happens at E3.
We cover
since we are here in LA.
We are.
So we like to have a lot of fun with that.
The overall feel before we jump into a couple of things. The overall feel I took away from it, and I was there on the floor while you guys were live blogging it. It was this atmosphere of, look at all the cool things you can do with Xbox. Not look at all the games we have. Look at all the look at all of the cool things you can do.
Entertainment was very much the focus.
Yeah, yes. We didn't see a lot of games. We saw a lot of games, but we didn't see a lot of gameplay.
It didn't seem like there was a lot of games, but in fact, there actually was. Now, more so this year than in past years, a lot of them were a little bit more glanced over. However, they had a couple heavy hitters, which we'll discuss. Halo 4 and such that they spent some time on, and it was well worthwhile. So personally, to me, as a gamer, I didn't feel very cheated, although you will always want more no matter how much they give you.
That's just how it works. But they did kind of start the show with, of course, their own series. You had to. You're not announcing new hardware. You know Nintendo is. How do you compete with that? Start by launching a title that you started on your console. And that is Halo. Halo 4. I've never been a fan of the Halo series. Ever. It's just not my thing. I'm a shooter. I love my GoldenEye. I love my shooters. I love my Battlefield. But it just never sucked me in. I didn't like the arcade-y style Halo, which kind of is exactly why I don't like Call of Duty, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this was impressive, John.
Yes, it was. This might be the Halo that finally gets me into the series. And this is all based off what we saw in the keynote. So that's a pretty good statement, just kind of right off the bat. But what I kind of liked about it was, basically, obviously the graphics were pretty well, so you can definitely get excited about that. It's Master Chief who talks, and that's always unnerving to me.
Right.
But I'm sure that once I get into Halo 4, that'll pass by pretty quickly. The story was pretty rich from what they showed us. Basically, you're in a jungle setting, and there's plenty of things that want to kill you, and seemingly some new enemies and some new weapons. The storyline seems to be continuing on well. For those of you, I can't speak to people like me who would be more jumping in now. As to whether they would feel lost in the series or not, when I get that chance, I'll let you guys know. And conversely, if you get a chance, let me know, because that's kind of a big deal to me. FPSs aren't usually big on story, but I like a little bit of it. However, I do like to kill people in video games, so that's a lot of fun. However, one thing I want to mention real quick that was exciting about Halo 4 was the smart glass integration.
Yes.
That was definitely the most exciting part. You know, we didn't really get to see a whole lot of it.
But we know enough now.
But we know enough that it's pretty darn cool.
They didn't have to say a lot to mean a lot.
Right.
And they did just that. Now, I will say this. I was down there third or fourth row, depending on what time of day it was, because I kept adding chairs. It was ridiculous. And for me, one thing that draws me in about a game is its sound quality, the soundtrack, the sound effects. I, being an audio guy...
Really, Mr. Sam, right? Sound Man?
Crazy,
that,
right?
That's what gets you.
But, you know, it sucks you in because it makes you more immersed into the game. It makes you feel like you're part of the game. So that was a huge thing for me, and I think they really walked away with this. They had the sound turned up super loud, and it's not something that relays when you watch it at home or away on a computer. The sound was almost deafening in there. They had it cranked to the max, and you could hear every nuance. There was rain falling in the background that didn't come through on the video. There were little like tree leaves floating around that you heard rustling
in the background.
And they were coming out all these different speakers in the room. I was hooked, and they started with the Halo 4. You heard the guy yelling, guns shooting, and I'm like, yep, I have to go play this game now at this volume at home. I have to. There's no option about it. So I have to wait until November 6th for that, but that's okay.
Yeah, we can...
Holiday time. We can play it on our way to CES.
Of course, every E3, it's either going to be...
Holiday or next year's summer.
An ambiguous 2013 launch date or holiday that year.
Seems that way.
So that's how it goes. But yeah, definitely excited about Halo. One of the other big boys they broke out fairly early was Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yes.
And it seems to be a definite plus to the series, and I'll kind of tell you why. They have this basically system they call Killing in Action, which is a way for you to move quickly between targets and smoothly. So it ups the pace of the game, but you still have to maintain that stealth aspect. And with the Kinect integration, you know, you can distract your enemies by, like, saying, "Hey, you know, come over here," and the guy's like, "Oh, what?" and he wanders over, and you kill him,
which was awesome.
You can also issue commands to friendlies and stuff like that, which is pretty cool as well. So it picks up the pace a little bit. The graphics looked really smooth, and it brings that actionable and stealth part of the game together really nicely, which is what I thought.
Exactly, and then I saw something at this point in the conference that really stood out to me. I don't know if a lot of people caught on it. I don't know if you did either. This year's theme was entertainment-based, and we knew that.
Yep.
But like you said, there was a lot of games. We didn't see a lot of gameplay, and I think that is because of this. Next year, all these games come out for holiday or for next year. So then they can go, "Hey, look at this new hardware that these games can now play on." And I think that's kind of their thing. Look at all the cool games you can play, but we'll show you more later. We'll show you more at GDC, at PAX. Well, as we progress through the year, we'll show you more gameplay. But we're going to get you excited now. Because, yes, you can still game on this console, and there are 20 titles here that we're going to show you that prove it. And with that, we saw Fable the Journey.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a Kinect game. There was more or less a commercial for it, which we'll probably see on TV later.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some guy basically, you know, throwing fireballs and things like that, run around Albion, just creating havoc and destruction, which was pretty cool.
Right.
We saw a world premiere of Forza Horizon,
mm-hmm.
Which I've never really been impressed with the Forza games, so that's kind of beyond me. It did look kind of cool, you know, for, I guess, a Forza game.
I'll do you one better. Every car that you saw in the preview was available outside.
Oh, really?
For you to hop into, and they were driving you people around.
Nice.
In the car. So you had the BMW 650, and you had the Porsche Carrera.
Oh,
all outside with the logos for people to drive around.
Nice.
After the convention. It was awesome.
That would be cool. We also saw
a
world premiere for Gears of War.
Gears of War, which...
Not a whole lot more to say, except that it looks awesome per usual.
They don't have to say a lot with Gears of War. You can just look at it's going to say Gears of War, and then everyone goes and buys it. And it's awesome, which is the better part of the two things.
Something that I wasn't expecting for some reason, but actually to me seems pretty awesome. Stefan Olander from Nike came out on stage and presented the Nike Fit.
Yes.
Which is a really cool athlete training system where they have like a Nike band and then it basically measures your technique as you're training to be an athlete. And it gives you really precise, measurable, real-time, real-world feedback on your physical health and performance.
Because that was one problem with fitness games. You can never tell how you were progressing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sucks for people who really want to work out but can't leave their home. They have a kid, they have a job, whatever the case may be. They can't work out at a gym. They want to do it from home, but they don't know how great they're doing because they don't have a trainer.
Yeah, and then...
This fixes it.
Part of what this did was critique their actual technique when it comes to the exercises and learning. So that was a really cool thing. They took a little bit of time to talk about that, and it seems to me like the most thought out fitness game
for real
so far. It almost seems like it would be more of a platform, in itself than just
it's not here's the game, here's the DLC, and you're done.
Right.
There's so much more to it, and I liked the fact that
the real world implementation with the Nike band and stuff too is
that
is
and the
pretty
fact
awesome.
That it will remind you on your phone when you have to do your next workout.
Yes.
People forget. And every 4 weeks, it will reassess your fitness level.
Yep, and it'll send you check a monthly report.
Which is amazing. So, holiday 2012, you're eating all that turkey. Now you can go work out.
Yeah, now you have makes no excuse because you can do it in your home with your Xbox.
In your living room, and that's kind of the key.
And then Crystal showed off a new Tomb Raider, which as
I saw that
per
and,
usual.
And I knew you were excited.
Really, I mean, after that, Scott and I were talking about people are going to need new pants before they go to the EA press conference. So in typical fashion, it was pretty intense action, you know, smooth graphics. It was cool that they were using sort of low-tech weapons like bows.
I like that.
It adds a different element to the game, which is pretty cool. We didn't see a whole lot more besides Laura getting the crap beat out of her, as per usual. But
also,
she was still incredibly hot.
Everything was destructible.
It was.
Which I liked a lot. And you had to use strategy to kill your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before it was just shoot them and maybe push a boulder in their face. Now it's shoot the fire, burns them alive, hit the thing, and they crush. A little bit better.
I was going to suggest that they actually bundle the game with pants.
Ah, yeah.
From somewhere. That would probably be a good idea. Another quick little cool game that we got to see a little bit of was Ascend New Gods. Kind of God of War style. It's that pretty much that same premise.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to describe without seeing it, but you're basically this crazy-looking skeleton guy with an axe walking around and chopping up... what was it? It was like some giant, really giant ogre thing that was
who knows
pretty
what
insane.
It was crazy.
It looked really good. And then we saw a little, just a sneak peek of something called Loco Cycle.
Which I did not understand at all.
And Matter, which seems to be a Portal-esque game with marbles. It's kind of Tron-ish, kind of Portal-ish.
The morality cores meet a maze? I don't know.
Yeah, Infosphere
right?
and stuff, yeah.
Carla's like, yeah, that's exactly what it is, and I'm ready to play it. No, I kind of want to. I kind of want Stephen Merchant to go, hello, I'm a marble. I'm going to go on this maze now. I don't know. I feel like... Did Valve make this game? No. What is happening? I don't know.
I don't know, but all those...
2013, I'll find out.
Sometime.
Yeah.
2013, who knows?
Maybe.
Let's see, Resident Evil 6, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It's the same as it's always been.
It bothered me.
It was a little choppy, and I mean...
As usual, it was a button masher, and it was a time sequence thing.
It's the quintessential zombie killer game.
I love the zombies in Resident Evil. I love the zombies and how they're made up and how they act and how they interact with each other. I don't love the painstaking process it is to kill them. The unrealistic painstaking process it is to kill them. And then the run away. Oh, you're going to get stuck in front of a door. Mash A and flick your left stick. Oh, now press Y. Oh, you fell over because we planned it that way. Press X to get back up and now kill another zombie. No, I'm good with that. Just let me run away. Go kill him and I run away again. But I did like the grenade. In the stairwell, that was cool.
That was pretty cool.
So it feels like they need to take the zombie effects from Resident Evil, mix it with the gameplay from Left 4 Dead, and you'll have something good.
And
Carla hates real games. I'm noticing, by the way. I just want to point this out.
She'll probably
you
like
the cartoon zombies.
Those were fake zombies.
No.
Yes, they were not real.
Were you watching on a smartphone?
In case you can't hear, she's saying that they're fake zombies and
fake
not real,
zombies.
And she's hating on it. She probably wouldn't hate on Wrecketeer, though.
I don't.
That was the... It was like the first real kids game.
Angry Birds 3D.
Angry Birds 3D, yeah. Basically...
But from Castle Crashers, using castles, which is kind of ironic.
You use your body to guide projectiles to blow up giant castles. And it's kind of over the top. It looks pretty fun, like an E for Everyone kind of game. Pretty cool.
We didn't see a lot of kids games, so this was kind of nice to see in between.
Dance Central 3 was kind of the only other kids game.
Yeah.
And you know, if you played it before, then you'll know what you're getting into here with this one.
What was exciting was they've brought in Usher to help choreograph the moves.
So right.
And he was like, I helped come up with two of the dances for the songs. And instead of me telling you what those dances are, I'll show you. And he shows up on the left side of the stage. no one expected that in the entire room. I don't think half of Microsoft knew that he was attending the event. And he, as soon as he walked on, he did his dance and left.
Yeah, was, and that no, was it.
That was it, done. Usher's gone. Usher.
Yep, but that was the coolest thing about Dance Central 3.
Yeah, because it's the same Usher's style. It's the same songs. I don't know what they're doing that makes it better. They didn't really say. Dance Central 2, we knew, was mm-hmm. better than Dance Central 1 because it had all these different features well, added
and
in.
It, and it had a 2 in the title.
Well, and this has a 3. That doesn't mean anything.
So there was also a rather unique game that we saw, South Park, The Stick of Truth, which the whole point of that is basically they put you in a TV episode of South Park, they take your avatar, and they South Parkify it.
Yep.
As well. It pretty much seems like a Lord of the Rings parody, more or less. Stan, Kyle, Eric, and all of them are basically going around looking for the one who has the power to save South Park from its devastation of kind of the zombies or like witches, warlocks, orcs, that kind of stuff, but with all South Park characters like people. So if you like South Park, odds are it's going to be right up your alley. If you don't, I don't think this is going to change your mind.
No, it's not. I wasn't excited. Everyone else was excited. Then the creators of South Park came out and I still wasn't excited. I don't care.
So, and then to round out the games, they saved what arguably could be the best for last, Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't seem to disappoint from a graphics standpoint. The cinematics and gameplay seemed to work very well together. The action was pretty intense, as you would expect.
Right.
I don't want to spoil a whole lot, but the part where you get to fly around a destroyed LA, which is a little concerning. I hope that doesn't happen until after we're gone.
Yes.
But a destroyed L.A. in a Harrier-like aircraft was pretty awesome.
It was.
They definitely seemed to be utilizing vehicles and some extra sort of gameplay with team players and stuff like that, which was pretty cool. They kind of ended it, the presentation of it, by saying that the future is black.
Yeah.
And that's going to be out November 13th, 2012, so you'll have that in time for Christmas.
Now, there was mixed reactions in the live blog for that.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't care less. It's still, it looks cool, but the Treyarch, okay, other than Black Ops 1, which looked like an arcade game that apparently sold millions, and I can't really figure out why, because it looked like you were playing on an 8-bit Pac-Man machine in a 1995 arcade, it sold well. Other than that, the Treyarch stuff usually looks pretty good and plays like crap. Kind of think the same thing's going to happen here. The World at War was awful, but it looked good. I think we'll say the same thing with Black Ops 2. It'll be awful, and it'll look amazing.
I don't know. If it plays out like the demonstration that we saw, I think it stands to potentially be the best in the series so far.
But that was like the longest cutscene, because he only had two parts of actual gameplay. The one in the air and the one as a sniper. And that was it.
Well, no, then there was the part where he got to man the missile launchers.
Yeah.
Take out the drones and
stuff.
But
again,
like
scripted things that you can't really control the sequence of, because it waits for you to complete the task
then
moves on.
When he got to the sniper point, he had actually taken them all out, and it took the game probably a good 20 seconds or so to actually realize that was the case.
Right.
And then let him move forward.
Right. So that's what Black Ops does. As opposed to, the former Activision, which isn't around anymore. So I don't know. I just don't have high hopes for the Black Ops series. I know everyone's going to buy it. It's going to sell millions, and they'll come out with a Black Ops 3.
Oh, it'll do well regardless.
And then we'll keep running out the cycle. We'll do more zombie killing in a shooting game. That's what Left 4 Dead's for. I don't know.
But we had mentioned Smart Glass a little bit earlier.
We did.
And definitely want to take a little time to go over that.
We
saw some integrations in the games, which was pretty cool. We saw a lot more with Xbox Live.
We know what it is now, mm-hmm. as opposed to last night where we had no information other than
what other people like us had conjectured.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we know what it is. It's an extension and a major enhancement of Xbox Live to the nth degree. Now, a lot of people looked at it and said, oh, that's really not exciting. I can't really justify that. And we mentioned last night, well, the average consumer could use it. This person mm-hmm. could use it. We were all wrong, really. We really were. And to a degree, it's kind of what it is. It's taking the phone and your tablet, these things you have with you all the time, and then allowing you to be more immersive with those things, using them as you're watching TV. A lot of people in reports said when you're watching TV, you're doing something else anyway on your tablet. Mm-hmm. Well, why not connect the two together? And that's what they're doing here with smart glass.
And all that, and have a couple of digs at Apple while you're at it.
Basically
saying, yes. Well, you already have a phone, you know, you already have a tablet. You already have an Xbox.
Why not make them all work together? You don't need an $86,000 TV, I think, Scott. That was the number from Scott over there live blogging. $86,000 for the Apple TV after inflation or whatever it may be. And the interesting thing here is it'll give you more content without interrupting the show or the movie you're watching. It just gives you more stuff.
For example, they were watching a television show. It's a sci-fi kind of show. It took place in a separate world, universe, different planet, I'm assuming. And on the tablet, you were actually able to see information about where the characters were on a map.
Which is awesome.
It gave a whole other context to the show without actually interrupting.
Right, because you don't have to look at it, which is great. And still, you can take that content from your Windows 8 tablet and move it to your TV and back, which is good too. All controlled via your Xbox. What I noticed, and you mentioned Apple.
Yes.
You mentioned an Apple dig, whatever the case may be.
Because it's what they did.
Did we miss the dig at the Wii and the Wii U?
Oh, nope. that one didn't get by pretty far.
Wii U is, we're going to see more of that tomorrow at the Nintendo press event. Microsoft pretty much made that a non-issue now. That's an irrelevant thing. We don't need that. You have Wii U here.
And
you have a tablet that you can do your stuff on your TV with, because Wii U specifically said, this isn't made as a game, it's made as an accessory to your gaming experience. You can do more things on it.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a game. It's a tablet you already own. You can use any tablet. You don't need to buy the specific Wii U one. So this isn't just a shot at Apple, shot at Nintendo.
You don't have to buy some special gaming tablet from GameStop,
right?
Or anything like that. You know, you can just have a ordinary tablet that emphasizes your Xbox.
So I mentioned it in the live blog. I said the devices all say with Xbox, we work together. Play on Wii.
Yep.
So that in itself is awesome. The ability to seamlessly transfer data back and forth, and then take it to the level of, okay, provide you more info down to your tablet or smartphone or whatever you're using. Now, we saw a lot of this with the Xbox Companion app on the Windows 8 on the release preview and on the consumer preview.
Mm-hmm.
You could turn on your Xbox, access your movies, turn on the game, control your game. You can do all these things through your computer, which was awesome. That was just a small glimpse of what we actually are going to see with smart glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. We already knew it existed. We just had no idea. It is the same thing except taken to another level, which is just a fantastic way for Xbox to go, you know what? We don't have new hardware. That's okay. We don't need new hardware because guess what? We just replaced the Nintendo Wii U. Done. You don't need to buy it now because it's here. And you actually can play games that are in HD. And we have 35 million media partners. Have at it. And we learned that they're doubling the media partners that they're going to be having on the network. They announced it throughout the show. 35 more media partners.
Mm-hmm. A lot of sports involved with that. The NBA is coming to Xbox Live, the NHL, although no one really cares about that.
Stop it now. Listen, okay, the NHL I'm excited for a couple reasons. One, I'm a big hockey fan.
Here we go. All right.
Number two, Game Center was available on the PS3 for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're bringing it to Xbox. And they're bringing exclusives to the Xbox Live platform.
Well, that's exciting if you care about hockey.
Stop it. So it's the only thing that LA has going for them right now.
Well, that's true.
The Lakers.
Yeah,
the Clippers
Lakers
lost.
Didn't make it.
Yeah.
So ESPN's going to have 24-hour content here.
Now, that's cool. Okay, so ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN3, ESPNU, 24/7, all the shows.
No ESPN Ocho?
No.
The Ocho.
Or Deportes.
Oh. Actually, that's not necessarily true.
Well, ESPN Deportes is already on there, but it's not live.
That's true.
Only select shows are live. I've already looked into this.
However, they are going to be having some Spanish entertainment like Video.
Yep.
I know it's going to be one of them.
And Univision.
They're going to start adding a couple other different languages, which was a pretty cool thing. Definitely expanding more and more.
Yeah.
Paramount Machinima. I don't know if that's right.
Machinima.
Oh. I knew that. Just kidding.
Nickelodeon. And we thought that yesterday when we talked about Amazon Instant Video being added to the network this week, that that was it. No, that was just the beginning of 35 more partners that we're going to see, which is crazy if you really think about it. That's 71 partners that they now have on Xbox Live.
It's stacking up pretty big.
You might have to consider cutting your cord and not having cable.
What?
Crazy.
Gasp.
It's insane.
So, you mean with Netflix and Hulu Plus, plus ESPN and everything else on your Xbox?
Now, granted, the 35 media partners aren't all U.S.-based. We're not going to see all of them.
Right.
That's globally. That's international. But for the ones for America, we'll have Amoeba TV, Break Media, Comedy Central Stand-Up, which is awesome, GameSpot TV, Indie Flix, shout out Revision 3, their network's going to be on Xbox Live, which is awesome. Rhapsody, Slacker Radio, Snag Films, the AOL On Network, the Weather Channel, The Whistle, and Twitch TV. That's a lot more. Now, hopefully, this won't take a year to show up.
Indeed.
We hope.
They seem to have been rather slow so far. Maybe they've ironed out the process a little bit more. The media platform's a little bit more in place so that they'll be able to bring them in faster in the future, hopefully.
Right.
But, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Exactly. Now, would we see... This is interesting now. Cord cutting. So we have Comcast, AT&T, UVerse already on the Xbox.
Okay. Yep.
Do you think that's still a supplementary thing? Or do you think customers really might leave their cable provider or their DirecTV provider and go the route of just going with your Xbox 360?
If the new media partners increase the usage enough, that will become more realistic. You know, the Xbox is the living room experience. The closer that Microsoft gets to that with their offerings, the more that will become a reality.
Yes, definitely.
And, you know, for $60 a year, I think they're pretty close. We're going to start seeing some higher trends on conversions from people switching from cable to the Xbox Live. I mean, I think it's coming. This year is probably going to really start, be the beginning, the tip of the sword for the exodus.
I think so.
That's my opinion. I think next year at E3 2013, assuming that's the case, we'll probably hear some interesting numbers about the growth of Xbox Live from the perspective of content consumption.
You're right. And they talked about that for a little bit. They went from the number one console selling nationwide for North America, so continentally, to the number one console selling worldwide this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that, think about the traction, and 60% of those people are entertainment users. 60% of all things being done is entertainment-based, so it's not games. If that turns into 80%, or you're spending 80% of your time personally doing that kind of thing, maybe the shift is there.
Well,
I know these companies that are on board don't want to hear that.
That all starts with the Xbox being the number one console in the world.
It does, and it is now. And we talked about it last night. PlayStation might not be around much longer if they keep continuing to do these things that they're doing. Now, we'll see tonight what's going to happen. We don't know.
Well, I think they'll be around, but just not might necessarily make money ever.
That's fair, because they were the number one console worldwide for a while.
For a while, yeah.
Now they're not. And they don't have nearly the same amount of content partners.
They're going to have to do some restructuring with PlayStation Home, but that's neither here nor there right now. So
now it feels like
we do. What were you going to say?
Go ahead.
Okay, because I just want to make sure that we don't end the show without mentioning that Internet Explorer.
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay.
I was going to say, into this.
Go for it, yeah.
Because I know you're excited. I'm excited. It felt like if that was the convention, if that was the event, I would have been satisfied. Wow, that's a lot of cool things. I am ready. I can leave.
They come on stage. Xbox is number one console in the world.
Here's a bunch of games. Or that way, too. Yeah. This is a bonus gift for me. I was all sorts of excited. Internet Explorer for Xbox is now available. Scott mentioned in the live blog that they're finally ready with all the security features to make sure this is a safe thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the PlayStation.
Why it's been put off for so long. Exactly. We saw the disaster that was the PSN going down with accounts being compromised and there are weeks on end of outages. So
indeed.
Yeah. It's fine if it takes them a little longer to do it right, which is, as history shows, usually the case.
Now, with that, we also saw a bunch of new cleaned up Bing search features that you were excited about, I noticed, in the live blog. Just the way you interact with things is a lot smoother.
Not necessarily new, but it seems to be cleaned up a bit from what it was before. It seemed to be rather responsive. Xbox favorites.
Right.
Play, I don't know, Avatar or whatever. This is all
stuff
we've pretty well seen before. They were really just showing off a little how much further that it's come.
Right.
It's not as clunky as it used to be, that's for sure. It was definitely on point. It still might take a little use to saying Xbox.
Yeah.
400 times a day. But that's okay. I'm sure at some point it'll be sentient and it'll just know when you're talking to it.
I've noticed that, and they have this thing. It's a beta app right now called Voice Studio on Xbox for those who have Kinect. It's a voice recognition software, but it's a game that you play. So you read these random phrases like the Human Torch was denied a bank loan. You say things like that to it from different parts of the room, and you get rewarded with cool avatar things. So it's helping you build that recognizable thing. So when you're talking to it, you don't have to say Xbox. Now, with this last update, I think 2 months ago, it went from Xbox, wait for the menu to come up, and then your command. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that anymore. Now it's just Xbox Bing, command. Whatever.
Yep.
As all one. So it's starting to learn that way. So when it starts recognizing, now you don't have to say Xbox, you just go Bing Avengers. Done. It knows that, oh, you said Bing and you said Avengers. Now, it'll be funny if, say, I'm talking to my fiance and I'm like, oh, we should check out on Bing Avengers. And Xbox just does it. That'll be a little weird. Just don't talk tech around the Xbox, I think, is what we're aiming at here. Don't speak about it without you talking to it. It doesn't like to be left out. It wants to be included.
Don't say it as a non-actionable item.
Fair enough.
It'll be interesting when the Kinect invariably, like the Johnny Fivehead, starts following you around the room.
Yes, that would be awkward.
And looking at you when you say certain things.
But I even thought about it. Say you're on, on the phone with you, and you have a problem with your computer. I'm like, did you check the video settings? It would go to video into settings. I'm kind of worried it'll become self-aware, and that's kind of an issue. It'll just take over and decide for you what you want to watch and not give you the option to not watch it. I don't know.
It'll get mad at you and start posting things you say around your house, like, to Facebook.
Why don't you want to watch this today?
Why do you hate me?
So all in all, I mean, what a great event this morning. It really spoke volumes for what Microsoft was planning to do this year.
As most years, it was a great way to kick off E3 proper.
Oh, and we got to mention this. We kind of forgot to touch upon this. 12 new languages supported for voice recognition for Bing.
Besides Espanol.
Yeah, and they were showing off the Spanish features. And was it? I have to ask Carla. She's sitting off camera. I don't know this language. Okay, it's a mystery to me how you get the housekeepers to clean the hotel. I don't get how you do it. But because you do, and I thank you for it, the things he was saying were accurate and reflective of, like, the things it was doing. Because we don't know. He could have said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it does something. You're like, oh, that's what I meant it to do, and it was pre-programmed. I don't know. Did it? It did? Okay. Well, that's assuring, because I wasn't sure. I thought he was just like, da-da-da-da, and it just goes somewhere. He's like, I meant to do that.
Oh, yeah. It worked.
You can't prove otherwise. I don't know. So 12 new languages, including Spanish. I don't know what the other 10 are, or 11 are.
And well, they're not English, so it's... I don't think it matters.
And we got to mention...
Just kidding.
Who cares about Europe? No. We got to mention this. We knew this for a while. The Xbox branding has kind of taken over the world.
Yes.
We have to shed a tear. Zune is officially dead. We stabbed it a couple times in the past couple months with the Windows 8 rebranding and the Xbox rebranding and Zune going away.
Well, it started with the rumors when the hardware was being discontinued and it was smacked around a little bit.
Yes.
They finally got tired of
"Get out of here.
Torturing it.
We don't want you no more." Yeah. And Zune was like, "Why?" It's like, because your poo box never was a good thing, the old 30 gig brown Zune. Who would make a brown Zune? We know who would buy a brown Zune.
Indeed. But, yeah, it was a little sad. Although there were other so many exciting things going on.
Yep.
And it's kind of been dragging out for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of glad that it just is at peace.
So we have Xbox Live for Windows, Xbox 360, Xbox Live, Xbox Music now, Your Music, Your Way, console, Windows 8 PCs, tablets,
yep.
phones, you name it, anything Windows-based will interact with Xbox Music across each other, so you don't have to set up a special Zune account to get to your music and then load it to your Xbox and then select it and then kind of sort through the selected amount of songs you can have. And it just goes. Yay. We were excited. I saw Chitty Bang on there.
Yeah, they always pick some odd things to showcase on there.
So what were you most excited?
That's how we get most of the show for... most of the music for our show.
It's true.
We're used to.
Yeah. What were you most excited about, John? From up here, I couldn't get a reaction on that.
Well, with all the awesome things going on, I mean, like, IE on Xbox is something that I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
It might just be better because I've wanted it, and it's something that I've known would eventually happen for such a long time.
Yep.
Everything else, with the Kinect and all that other stuff, you find out, but it's not something that you necessarily envision from the inception of the Xbox. So that's I'm probably definitely mostly excited about Internet Explorer.
The theme for today was entertainment and Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yep.
That was it. Everything revolved around that, and I thought they did a really great job. I think they stole the show again, and you guys said Sony did great last year. I disagree with you, and I don't know how it'll be today and tomorrow for the other events, but Microsoft, again, for me, number one. Mark it in the books. At the end of the day, when the dust clears, they will be the ones that are left standing, and everyone else can just cower down and obey, because it's just going to be easier.
Yep.
Everything will be Metro.
Hopefully. We'll see.
That's our show.
This show?
This show right here.
I can't
believe you changed the opening.
I know. I'm sorry.
For shame.
I got excited.
You were like, I can do this.
I was like, yeah.
So right now, the EA Live vlog is coming to has closed. We have Ubisoft coming up. We have the Sony one coming up.
Yep.
Tomorrow, Nintendo coming up. I think at some point tonight, we start the syndication of SDR News and the HP Discover event from Las Vegas with our lovely people, Andy McCaskey and Courtney Wallen from over there.
Shout out.
Just a lot of stuff happening all at once.
It's exciting.
There's only one way you can get all the content. That's by going to f5live.tv, clicking the subscribe buttons over on the right-hand side. Just click on John's face first and then to the right. It'll be all good. It doesn't mute him. I learned that. I tried on my own browser.
I'll eat your mouse. You'll never get a pointer again.
He's lost a finger. More LA Gaming Week coverage coming up. A lot more events that are happening as the week continues. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you join us live when we post on Facebook, Zune, Twitter, wherever we are. F5live.tv/join us all week long. Continued coverage here at F5 Live. So on behalf of the staff that's clearly not here right now, I'm Nick.
And I'm John.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Indeed. Maybe even before who knows?
Who knows?
But definitely at least tomorrow.
Peace and chicken grease.
Go with honor, friend.
Solidarity.
Remember the sun.
That sun is wealth.